Now I want to show you today that failure is not fatal or final unless you quit. But otherwise, it's not fatal and it's not final because of the blood and because of the Holy Ghost and because of the promises of God and because of our mighty Savior who lives inside of us.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to the weekend edition of Life Talk. Today we begin a new message entitled Overcoming Personal Failure. This is the second chapter on the series we call Faith Breakers. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
I think one of the biggest punches our faith can go through is when we personally fail ourselves and the Lord. When we fail the Lord in a significant way, it can bring such shame and discouragement that we want to quit and walk away. It's a faith breaker that takes the wind out of our sail and the confidence out of our walk. We experience embarrassment, anger, fear, shame, and despair. And we feel dirty and unworthy because we acted foolishly. We knew better, but we did it anyway. The Bible's filled with the stories of people that failed the Lord, from Abraham to King David to Simon Peter. People of faith with the best of intentions fell short, messed up, and failed in their walk. But what I love about the Word of God is that it shows us how they got back up, dusted themselves off, received fresh vision from the Lord, and moved forward in life. And no one did it better than Simon Peter. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share once again from the life of Peter, the message, Overcoming Personal Failures.
Well, I want to talk to you today about when you fail. Now, I know that's only a few of you, but maybe you can get the CD and take it to somebody that really needs it. But we all fail. And a key person in the Bible failed badly. His name is Simon Peter. Jesus knew that he was going to fail. And Jesus told him he was going to fail. And I want to read to you what Jesus said to him and show you that when we fail, instead of it being a faith breaker, God wants it to be a faith maker. That is, your personal failures don't have to shoot you down, knock you out of the saddle, take you out of the race, take you out of church, take you out of prayer, and off into some wilderness of regret and defeat. But God wants to restore you if you have failed. And since we've all failed, let's see what happened with Simon Peter. So this is Jesus looking at Simon, and Jesus, knowing all things, says to Simon, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Notice the devil can't touch you without permission. Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." That is so telling, because Jesus knew what Satan was after in Peter's failure. He said, "Satan's coming after your faith, Peter. He's going to try to take you out so that you're not there to preach on the day of Pentecost. So you're not there for your shadow to heal people on the side of the road. So you're not there to write two of the epistles in the sacred eternal Word of God. But the devil's going to try to take you out, Peter. He's going to try to take you out of the race. And he's going to go after your faith. And I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail. And when you have turned back," now here is faith breaker becoming a faith maker, "when you have turned back," not if, but when you have turned back, "you will strengthen your brethren." Peter, you're coming back stronger than when you went in. Peter, I'm praying for you. And rather than this failure taking you out, you're actually going to come back stronger than before. Because I'm in charge and the devil's not. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, Peter, I'm just letting you know what's coming. Now, we have been talking about faith breakers in this new series that I've just called Faith Breakers, and how God takes our faith breakers and makes them into faith makers. What is a faith breaker? It is something that happens to your life, a circumstance or a decision, in today's case, a decision you make that is really a failure decision. It's a bad decision. It could be a bad moral decision. It could be a bad relationship decision. It can be a bad financial decision. And you make that decision, and it brings failure into your life. You know that it was not a decision you should have made. It was a mistake. And in many cases, a flat-out sin. And we fail. We fail God. We fail ourselves. We fail our loved ones. And always remember, church, when you sin, the first person you failed is God. David said, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." But beyond God, it comes down to when you and I mess up, and we all do, we fail ourselves, we fail those that are looking to us, we fail one another. Nobody sins alone. It always reaches out and touches somebody else. But when we make a mistake, it can be a faith breaker, and that means something that really shatters and shakes and rattles your faith. It rattles you. It goes seemingly, it feels like, it goes beyond the armor into your heart and strikes you deeply, and you feel the failure deeply. You feel like, man, I really messed up. I really blew it big time. And it hurts deeply, and it can become a faith breaker. That is, it can so rattle you and shake you that you decide to quit. You decide to walk away. You decide to give up. You put up the white flag. Since I did this, since I went there, since I made that decision, then surely God is done with me. And I'm going to show you today, He's not near done with you. Can I say that again? He's not near done with you. Because there is no sin you could commit that is greater than the blood of Jesus. But we think that God might be done with us. So here's Jesus essentially saying to Peter, before he falls, he's saying, "I'm praying for you, Peter, that when you fail, your faith doesn't." When you fail, your faith doesn't fail. I'm praying, Peter, that your own personal failure will not cause you to walk away from your calling or from me. I'm praying, Peter, that even though you are going to blow it, and I'm not going to pray that you don't experience the trial, I'm not going to pray that the trial is stopped. I'm just going to pray that when you go through the trial, it will not break you, but it will make you. It won't be a faith breaker, but it will become a faith maker. And Peter, when you come back, you're going to be stronger than when you went in. And only God can do that. Now, the Bible reveals two things about Peter. Peter didn't think that he could fail the Lord. And two, Peter failed the Lord. Isn't it funny how we think we can't fail the Lord? And that's why the Bible says, "Beware lest you think you stand. Beware that you think you stand so strongly you cannot fail." There's not a person in here today that cannot fail. And I guarantee you, there's not a person in here that didn't fail somehow this week. In our thoughts, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our words, we all fail all the time. But sometimes we really fail, really mess up. And this is what Peter said he could never do. Peter said to Jesus in the upper room, when Jesus had said to all the disciples, "You're all going to walk away from me. You're all going to deny me. You're all going to run when they come to arrest me." Here's what Peter said. Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." Not me, Lord. I'm your man. I'm bulletproof. I'm not going to fail you. Even though these guys behind me mess up, not me, Lord. You're not going to see me denying you, walking away from you, disowning you, saying that I never knew you. But Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew himself, and Jesus knows you and me better than we know ourselves. And he said to him, he said, "Simon, not only are you going to blow it, you're going to blow it three times." He said, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night." Now, Peter bragged during the day, but that night, he was only hours away from an epic failure. Jesus said, "Tonight, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times that you even knew me." That is so strong right there. He's telling Peter, "You're going to deny that you ever even met me. You're going to deny that you ever knew me at all. You're going to totally disown me, Peter. You're going to totally disown me." Jesus who? I don't know any Jesus. And it happened just like Jesus said. Peter fell hard, and he denied the Lord three times. And just like Peter, we don't think we can fail the Lord, but we often do in one way or the other, and sometimes we fail him in a way that, listen, crushes our soul and threatens to shatter our faith. I'm talking about a significant failure. You really mess up. You really blow it. You can't believe you did it. You can't believe you went there, but you did. And it can crush your soul and shatter your faith. And after denying Jesus, the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He didn't just cry. He wept until he sobbed, till his shoulders shook. He wept till there was no more weeping to do. He wept his eyes out. I failed my Lord. And I didn't just fail him, but on the third denial, he came out of the judgment hall, escorted by soldiers, and when I said the third denial, he was looking right at me, and I looked up, and I locked eyes with him. I locked eyes with the one I had just denied. I locked eyes with the one who I had told just hours earlier, I'll never deny you, I'll never let you down, I'll never fail you, Lord, I'm your guy. But hours later, I denied him three times, and the third time, I looked him right in the eye and he looked at me. I personally believe that Peter never forgot that look. I think he had nightmares about that look. I think that look haunted him. What a look. It was a look of I told you so without having to say I told you so. Oh, Peter. But he loved him anyway. He loved him anyway. And when we fail the Lord in a significant way, it can bring such shame and such discouragement. We want to quit and walk away. It's a faith breaker that takes the wind out of our sail and the confidence out of our walk. How could I have done that? How could I have gone there? And we experience embarrassment and anger and fear and shame and despair. And we feel dirty and we feel unworthy because we acted foolishly. We knew better, but we did it anyway. You know why you did it anyway? Because you're still in a house of flesh. You have the Holy Spirit, but you're still in a house of flesh. And I got news for you. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be flawless. We're never going to be totally like Jesus until we're on the other side. But thank God that day is coming. When we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. But when you really blow it and fall flat on your face, you go through things like, will He forgive me? Will He forgive me? Really? Or even more than that, how can He forgive me? How can He forgive me based on what I did? How? And here's an even stronger one. Can I ever forgive myself? See, sometimes the hardest person for us to forgive is ourselves. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is you. Looking in the mirror, the person looking back at you, looking at yourself in the eye and saying, I forgive you. One day the Lord said to me, said, Jeff, is your sin greater than my blood? And I said, no, Lord, it's not. And He said, then you need to look at yourself in the eye in the mirror and forgive yourself. Because, see, everybody else can forgive you and God can forgive you. But until you forgive yourself, you can't walk into your future. Sometimes you've just got to forgive yourself. You've got to let yourself off the hook. You have got to say, self, I forgive you. Who are you to hold something against yourself when God doesn't hold it against you? Come on, church. But Jesus knows how easily we fall into the condemnation trap. And so He prayed for Peter in the same prayer. He prayed for Peter. He prays for us that when we fail, we will not lose faith, not be so shaken and rattled that we walk away and leave it all and get out of church and out of prayer and out of the Word, out of fellowship. And pick up our marbles and go home and fade into oblivion. That is not the will of God. It is always the will of God when we fail that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He wants to stand you on your feet. He wants to dust you off. He wants to breathe fresh life into you. He wants to breathe fresh hope, a fresh future, a fresh vision, a fresh excitement, a fresh zeal. I think I might preach here in just a second. I want you to hear me today. He wants to get you back on your feet because Jesus does not shoot His own, even though we do. Now, I want to show you today that failure is not fatal or final unless you quit. The only way failure can take you out is if you walk away and quit. But otherwise, it's not fatal and it's not final because of the blood and because of the Holy Ghost and because of the promises of God and because of our mighty Savior who lives inside of us. It's not fatal and it's not final. Peter shows us that. And that's good news because we all fail. And you know what? Truth be known, we fail over and over again. Now, how did Peter get out of his failure being a faith breaker and come out on the other side with his failure being a faith maker, where he is actually stronger than before, strengthening the brethren and becoming a pillar of the church? How did he emerge from such a terrible failure, and how can we experience the same thing? Well, let me tell you what I believe. I believe with all of my heart, Peter never would have fully recovered without the mercy, the compassion, and the ministry of Jesus to his life. No, he would have gone back to fishing. He would have lived the remainder of his days out in defeat and regret. And we would have never known of Simon Peter, the great preacher who preached at Pentecost or whose shadow healed the sick on the side of the road. We would have never heard about him if Jesus had not restored him. So I want to look at exactly what Jesus did to restore him, because what Jesus did for him, he's going to do for you and me. How many of you would like to hear it? Come on, everybody. How many of you would like to hear it? What did Jesus do to get him back on his feet? First of all, he sent for him. I love the Word of God. You know, I've been preaching since I was 18. I've been studying the Bible most of my life. But it's amazing to me that I can be studying it this week and see some things I've never seen before. The Word of God, if we lived to be a million, we could never exhaust the Word of God. And this is not in my notes. This is free. I want you to know that you hold in your hand the honey from heaven, the manna from God, the Bible, the Word of God. It is the inspired, God-breathed Word, and it's filled with life. And so I saw some things this week I've never seen. He sent for him. We read that when the women arrived at the tomb early on Sunday morning, the first resurrection Sunday, an angel was there dressed in glowing, brilliant white. And he announced the good news and instructed them, watch this, go tell his disciples I'm risen and Peter. And Peter. Now, Mark records it. Nobody else does. But Mark, the Holy Ghost moved on Mark to put that in there so that we would know that the risen Christ, who had just conquered death, hell, and the grave, through his angel, personally mentions and sends for the fallen and defeated Simon Peter. With the whole universe at Jesus' feet, what's on his mind? The fallen and defeated Simon Peter, his man who messed up. Jesus cared enough to tell the angel, be sure you mention Peter. Be sure Peter hears that I'm asking for him. Be sure that Peter hears that I'm sending for him, so that Peter will know I have not washed my hands of him, walked away from him, given up on him, but I still have a plan. I still got a future. I've still got my call and my destiny on his life, and I have not walked away from him, even though he walked away from me. I noted this, that he didn't go tell his disciples, he didn't say, go tell the disciples I'm risen, but not that scoundrel Peter. Now, I'm going to tell you, if he denied me, that's what I would have been tempted to say. Go tell the disciples, but forget him, he denied me. But not our Lord Jesus Christ, not the lover of our soul, not the darling of our heart, not the Savior of our life, not the one who shed his blood for us. He said, go and be sure you tell Peter I'm sending for him. The very fact that Peter was singled out in the angel's statement, go tell his disciples and Peter, reveals that Jesus had his fallen disciple on his mind. If you have fallen today, if you've made a mistake today, if you have failed today, let me tell you what Jesus is doing. You're on his mind. You're on his mind. Not to destroy you, not to step on you, not to wipe you out, not to condemn you, but you're on his mind. He's sending for you. He sends his Holy Spirit to us, doesn't he? And he convicts us of our sin, not so that we can feel bad about ourselves, but so that we can get it right and come back to him. He sent for him. He doesn't write Peter off as a permanent failure. He doesn't put him in the biggest loser category. He doesn't reject him for his painful denial of ever having known him. Even though he said, I don't know him, never known him, Jesus who? Jesus did not turn him aside for that. He still has plans. He still has his purpose. He sent for him. Now I want you to notice Jesus made the first move. You know why Jesus made the first move? Because Peter couldn't do it. He was too ashamed. And that's how we feel sometimes, don't we? We really mess up. We say, how can I go to God in prayer and repent of this? Because I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed of what I've done, what I said, what I did, what I thought. And Peter was too ashamed to seek out the Lord on his own. The Lord had to seek him out. The Lord had to take the initiative. The Lord had to make the first overture. But he did. And he sent for him. Same way when we fail. The Lord's way is to come knocking. Hey, I know you messed up. I love you anyway. Let's get this right. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I forgive you. I'm knocking on the door. If any man hears me and opens the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. He comes knocking. He comes calling for us. He called for Peter. He sent for Peter. And he's sending for you if you have failed, because he loves you. But not only did he send for him, he met with him. And this is amazing to me. He sent for him, he met with him. Because see, Peter did what most of us do when we blow it big time. When we make a huge mistake, the last thing we want to do is be around people who know us and who love us the most, because we've let them down. So we don't want to see them at all. So what we go into self-imposed solitary confinement. We walk away. See, there are all kinds of people who would be in church today, but they're not here today. You know why? Not just here, but all over America. You know why? Because they've had a personal failure. And they woke up and they said, who am I to go to church? Who am I to go to church and, you know, get in there with all those people who love God so much, way more than me? Oh, don't kid yourself. Everybody in here messes up. Everybody in here falls short. So if you have fallen short and messed up, come and join a bunch of other mess ups, because we're all leaning on grace. Amen. That's right. But Peter removed himself. Having let everybody down, especially Jesus, he disappeared. And that's the bitter fruit of sin. Sin always separates us from God and from the brethren. Sin separates, Jesus unites. So we spend our days in a miserable prison when we fail, and we respond in a way that God doesn't really want us to. You know what I found interesting? The Bible doesn't tell us where Peter was during the crucifixion. During the crucifixion, in Jesus' darkest hour, the one to whom he had said, I will never fail you, I will never walk away from you, I'll never deny you, I will never disown you. In Jesus' darkest hour, hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, arms stretched out as if to love us, body pointed upward as if praying for us to God. When you go to the cross, he takes you in his arms. And once he takes you in his arms, he takes you up into the presence of God. But Jesus hanging on that cross in his darkest hour, beaten beyond recognition, bleeding out of holes in his hands and his feet and the whips that he has received. Yet Peter, his star disciple, his main man, is nowhere to be found. And he's not there during the burial of Jesus later in Joseph's tomb later that day. John was at the cross, but not Peter.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talk's daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message entitled Overcoming Personal Failures in this sermon series called Faith Breakers. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.